Whenever we leave home, leave the place that we have known, where we have grown up, whether that's going off to college or starting a new job, we end up meeting different people from different places. And we might have an opportunity to take a road trip with one of our new friends to see their hometown, to see the place where they grew up. And it ends up being like a personal tour of their lives. We get to see the house where they grew up, measuring those notches on the door frame. We get to sit at their kitchen table amongst their people, getting to know their family, the folks that shaped their lives. We may even see the high school where they graduated, that all of those stories that they have told us come to life before our very eyes. And we discover how much we get to know someone when we see their place and meet their people. I remember taking a road trip with a good friend from college with a group of others. We were driving south through Georgia on our way to Florida, and we stopped off in his hometown of Perry, just south of Macon. And as we left the next morning, even though we were there for a short window of time, all of us realized how much more we understood our friend just by sleeping on his family's couch. We couldn't explain it, but it was true. And the story of Ruth is like a road trip. Seeing the place where King David is from and meeting his people. Because Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David, that as we sit on that couch and flip through the family photo album, we see Ruth and Boaz, who had a son by the name of Obed, who had a son by the name of Jesse, who, of course, had a son by the name of David, the future king of Israel. But as we're sitting there with our feet up on the coffee table, looking through those pictures, we realize there is a scandal afoot. Because Ruth was from Moab. Ruth was a foreigner. And the Moabites, who were descendants of Lot, had been in conflict with Israel. And throughout history, kingship has been passed down through a very strict family tree, that the title of king is only found within a family with pure royal lineage. But this story moves in a very different direction. As Kirsten Nielsen writes, the problem is the solution. The problem is King David's great-grandmother was a foreigner. That when he was making his campaign to take the throne as king of Israel, there were folks protesting against him for that very reason. But the problem is also the solution. Revealing to us that God does not work like the rest of us. That God is at work out there on the margins. That on this road trip, we not only learn about David, but also about God. And we see it in Ruth's commitment to Naomi. that Naomi and Elimelech had fled Israel because there was a famine. They sought refuge in Moab. And their two sons married Orpah and Ruth. But then their two sons and Elimelech passed away. And in this world, there was not much of a safety net around the widow. So Naomi decides to go back to Israel seeking assistance. And she tells Orpah and Ruth, go home to your families in Moab. The only problem is Ruth refused. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Now, I have to admit this morning, I don't remember much from Hebrew class in seminary, but I will never forget the word hesed. That when we say God's steadfast love, we are saying God's hesed. It is the grit and the grace of love. And as a foreigner, Ruth embodies God's hesed, revealing to us that God's love is found in unlikely places, which completely ignores the assumptions we might make. That Ruth teaches us about God's steadfast love, which has faced setbacks, but it never quits. One writer tells the story about a guy who bought a new house. Like many new homeowners who paint a few rooms a different color or add built-in bookshelves in the den, he wanted to change a few things. And the first thing on his list was to get rid of this bamboo that had grown up next to his driveway. So he spent several days chopping it down. And then he dug down as far as he could to the root system, trying to get rid of it as much as he could. But for added measure, he poured chemicals on it, making sure it was completely gone. And then he covered it in gravel and paved over it with cement. All was taken care of. Until about 2 years ago, he looked out the kitchen window and noticed this small shoot of bamboo growing up through a crack in the cement. That God's love endures, shattering the assumptions that we might make. And Jesus shatters our assumptions when he says, beware of the scribes because they like to wear long robes. Scribes were highly educated. They were the experts in scripture. But they liked to feel that sense of prestige walking down the marketplace. They wanted the best seats in the house reserved for them when they went to the synagogue. And this recognition was earned. Or at least, we might assume. Because Jesus looked at the widow who tossed two small coins into the treasury and said, she gave the most. It's the story of the widow's mite. And when the King James Version was translated, a mite was the smallest coin in England. So for us, it's the widow's penny, which you and I might find more change in the cup holder of our car this afternoon. But Jesus says, she gave the most, shattering our assumptions, which always has the power to change us. In that wonderful Broadway musical, Wicked, the author, Winnie Holtzman, tells the story of the Witches of Oz. Everything that happened before Dorothy showed up. It's a story of unlikely friends that apparently Glinda the Good Witch and the Wicked Witch of the West were friends back when they were in school. They were study partners. They helped each other out. It's the story of unlikely friends. Glinda, of course, was quite popular with everyone in school, but the Wicked Witch was ostracized because she had green skin. She was different. But they became close friends until dynamics around them pulled them apart. But before that happened, they both looked at one another and said that they had changed one another for good. That they changed one another for good, as in permanently. And they changed one another for good, as in for the better. That it is the gift of failed assumptions. That we might fail to see the goodness in a stranger's face because it does not look like our own, only to end up with a lifelong cherished friend. Or we might fail to see what is possible in a given situation, assuming it is hopeless, only seeing the barriers in front of us, that is, until we look through the eyes of somebody else and we never see the world the same again. Or we fail to see the abiding value of community until tragedy sidelines us, and we discover the grit and the grace of friendship and fellowship. That we can give thanks for our assumptions which fell apart, and for the people who changed us for good, revealing to us that the love of God is found in unlikely places. Amos Lee is a singer-songwriter. He's opened for people like Bob Dylan, Nora Jones, John Prine, Van Morrison. And he has a song called Street Corner Preacher. The chorus goes, he's got a new mercy and a new grace. Street corner preacher with an angry face. He got 2 years off for good behavior. Back in the neighborhood working for the Savior. Now I have to admit, I've never really been drawn to the street corner preacher. Standing out there on the corner of the street, looking everyone in their eyes and saying that the story of sin is the only story of their lives. That if I am honest, I usually walk to the other side of the road avoiding the street corner preacher. But there is one thing that the street corner preacher gets right. The street corner preacher stands out there at the corner of this world in places we might assume are hopeless. But God's love is found in unlikely places. It shows up in the shadows. It is there in the valley. It has the same grit as Ruth's commitment, and it has the same grace as the widow's faithfulness. It is a love which shatters our assumptions. And it is a love which has the power to change us for good. Amen.